A lovely track there from Troy Cassadaly, I Love This Place. Well, there are regional, interstate and international visitors to AIM. Some come to find a place to hold a meeting or to take a group of corporate high achievers on a reward trip. Others are manning stands that cover all sides of an industry, from city and island destinations to cruise lines, hotels, caterers and suppliers of a range of tourism services. Now, I spoke to someone who came from another city altogether, but that's the way AIM is. You walk in, it's a Melbourne event, but you'll see Adelaide, you'll see Brisbane. And in this instance, I spoke to Martin Winter, the CEO of Destination Gold Coast, because they've got a big event of their own coming up there in less than 2 months. And that's, of course, the Commonwealth Games.
Well, Martin, we're sitting here at AIM, and you've only got a relatively short period to go before you're going to host the Commonwealth Games up on the Gold Coast. How do you feel about that?
Oh, look, we're very excited. Of course, it's less than 60 days to go. And this is obviously the biggest event that's ever going to come to Australia this decade, and certainly the biggest event in my career coming to the Gold Coast.
Right. And so it's obviously a sporting event, but as in many situations, Brisbane, Melbourne, Commonwealth and Olympic Games and Sydney's Olympic Games, there's this other element to it where a lot of people, for instance, send staff on incentive visits to these international events of such scale. What are you going to get out of it as a city?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the primary focus is on the sporting events. But for these mega events, there's so many other opportunities and so many other spin-offs and legacies that we can get. For instance, in our own situation, in the lead up to the events, we've won over 40 sport related business events, which we would normally not have actually been able to have captured. These range from everything from association events that are national, that are related to actual sports themselves, right through to medical tourism, right through to issues such as timing, and so the suppliers to the sporting industry. So from our perspective, it's great in the lead up, and then of course around the games themselves, we're seeing a lot of corporates bringing in large numbers of people to make the most of the event, enjoy themselves, but also at the same time to do a lot of good business.
Right, so they're rewards focused, a lot of these events, aren't they, for the employee?
They are. Of course, incentives are very important for the Gold Coast. We've now achieved a major milestone just 2 weeks after the games. We have 7,000 Chinese coming from Infinitus in China, which is a personal products coming into the Gold Coast.
So
in a number
direct
of ways.
Marketing company?
Yes, they are, and they also do other sales, retail sales as well. But for us, this is very important because we have over 65,000 beds on the Gold Coast, and there's plenty of things, of course, to do. Mm. People who come from China to the Gold Coast have a really archetypal sort of Australian experience, lifestyle, the beach, the food, the restaurants, and of course they can even go to the theme parks, which fills in another couple of days because of all the fantastic rides, but also the wildlife and the Australian animal experience.
Right. Now, you've got a terrific convention centre up there on the Gold Coast. Is that part of the Games experience for
Yes, the convention centre, of course, being a huge facility, is always earmarked for those big spaces that organisers need. So the convention centre has been booked out primarily for the media centre.
Media centre, yeah.
And the media centre for the accredited media. This is Channel 7, and also for BBC and those other big broadcasters who then on-broadcast to smaller groups. But it's also going to be the home of the basketball and also the home of the netball. So it's a dual facility. But we also have, with regard to media, we've also got a non-accredited media centre which we've built specifically for the Games, and we're expecting between 12 and 1500 non-accredited journalists, bloggers, digital media people to come and also talk about the Games while they're here.
Just on the Games, is there a lot of these cities try to introduce a unique sporting activity for their city that is added to the Games? Have you got one?
No, we don't have a unique sporting activity.
Put in lawn bowls or?
Oh, we've got lawn bowls, right, of course, but lawn bowls is sort of ubiquitous to this country. But no, we've got a huge number of events. But the most important thing, I think perhaps one of the most admirable features about these games, is that it's the first time we've integrated the para games with the able-bodied games. So on the same day that you have the 100 metres final, you have heats of the able-bodied athletes, and then you'll have the heats of the para athletes. Okay. And I think that's a very inclusive and, as I said, very admirable way of going about it. So it sort of puts your money where your mouth is when you say you're serious about inclusivity.
Well, we certainly saw interest here in Melbourne at the Australian Open when the athletes in the wheelchairs took part in a final on the court, on the main court, main arena, and it was televised.
I saw the tennis. It was unbelievable.
It was, yeah.
And it's incredible. You know, there's no difference to these athletes. They have the same aspirations. They do the same training. The only thing is they're not quite as able-bodied as the ones who are lucky enough to be able to walk around.
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive. Now, tell me, I hear a lot of convention bureaus talk about legacy.
Mm.
In other words, leaving something behind from big events, whether they're big conventions or whether they are an event like you're about to stage up there.
Yep.
Is there something you can identify for me as a legacy from this event of yours?
Yeah, this has been hot on the lips right from day one, all those years ago when we won the event. And without having a legacy, I think it's a fairly hollow win. Mm. You have to make sure that there's something that is enduring for the amount of money. I mean, this is a $2 billion event.
Right.
And so, you know, everyone is expecting that afterwards there's going to be things which are going to be there for us. One of the big things was infrastructure, of course, and I'm not talking about sporting infrastructure, but one of the key drivers of the games was the light rail system, which now connects right along from the connection of heavy rail at a place called Springbrook at Helensvale, right through to Broadbeach. And along that route, there's not only the village, but there's also some of the major sporting venues.
Yes.
And so people will be able to use that. So that, in that sense, that's been very good. The athletes' village themselves, which cost around, I think, $700 million to build, are all being sold back into the market later. They are they're located adjacent to the huge teaching hospital we have, and Griffith University, another massive university. And so they'll turn into facilities which are not wasted.
Yeah.
They'll be turned into facilities where people can go into one and two bedroom apartments, and they can buy them or they can be rented for short or long-term stays. But from the business events sector, that is like the convention bureau sector, the most important thing for us is this has given us a real opportunity to focus on how are we going to make sure that the big venues are continually filled after the the games. There's nothing worse and no sorrier sight than seeing the weeds come out of the stadium in Athens, which we've all seen many times over.
Yes.
And so for us, there's been a concerted effort, and there's a team with Inside Council which has already been working for many years on what's going to happen afterwards. So there's a number of Pacific-based, national-based and international events which are going to be which have already been won to these stadiums that we have. We're going to be using the facilities for things like the Big Bash cricket. And around these, we've been working hard on making sure that we bring the corporate meetings, and we also bring the corporate meetings and also incentives around these activities.
Right.
So our team has been working really hard to do this, and we're confident that it's going to be almost a gift that we've been given as a city like the Gold Coast, which we can use as another hook to build our business events business.
Right. Yeah, the letdown factor is something that you do see occasionally. I wonder whether the Koreans were smart with their idea. They're going to pull some of the stuff out.
Yeah, well,
the media centre and the opening stadium.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're doing the same.
Right.
Our media centre, a non-accredited media centre, is only a temporary building.
Right.
Even though it costs a few million dollars, it's coming out. The actual stadium is having temporary seating around the end of it. That's all being removed afterwards because we know we can't fill the stadium.
Right.
You know, week in, week
out.
It's
pretty pragmatic. People who'd say that's a waste of money, but you see it differently.
Well, there's no way that you could possibly fill it without the games.
Yeah.
And so, rather than have to keep it clean, keep it air conditioned, and sort of man the and keep it upkept, it's a much smarter decision.
Can I just ask you about connectivity? As a result of this, have you got more flights that are going to come into the Gold Coast direct from international ports as a regular occurrence or just for the games? What's the cruise liners bringing people in for you? How do You know, how are people going to come up and visit these games of yours?
No, that's a good question, and you know, the obvious answer would be yes, but it's not the fact.
Right.
The Gold Coast, however, is very fortunate. It's one of the few cities in the whole world where we have two international airports at each end of our of our city. Brisbane Airport has got incredible connectivity. I think there's over 50 international flights a day. I know, for instance, out of Singapore, there's 3 flights a day direct. And from the Gold Coast at the other end of our city, we have got connectivity into Malaysia, Singapore, into the Pacific, into China through Hong Kong, etc. And, of course, New Zealand. So we're not expecting, or we haven't seen any increase. What we're going to see, of course, is the loads will increase very much over that period, and it's going to be a very busy day on departure day. People come in at different sort of times in the lead up, but they all tend to want to leave on the day after the closing ceremony, so it's going to be busy at all airports around that time, but that's no different to anywhere else. With regard to the actual ticket sales, though, most of the tickets, around 70%, have been sold in what we call the drive market, which is in this sort of radius of a couple of hundred kilometres around the Gold Coast. So a lot of local people are making the most of their opportunity to buy tickets to their favourite events. The ticketing has been very keenly priced so that families in particular can afford to come to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And then around about equally, interstate and overseas visitors have bought about 15% of the tickets each.
So that says to me there's still 15%?
No. There's we've sold just over 1 million tickets out of 1.2 million tickets.
Right.
But we're not anticipating to sell all the tickets.
So people want to come from interstate, they can still
absolutely.
There's come still, to the games?
Yes, there can be. And as a matter of fact, there'll be some more really good tickets being released soon. So so keep...
Is there a website for people to go to, Martin?
Yep, they should go to the Gold Coast, the GC 2018 website. Just type that in. And that will tell you day by day what's available. And, of course, there's still lots of great accommodation which is available as well, because, as with a lot of events like this, the organisers block book a lot of accommodation in anticipation of making sure there's rooms available. A lot of those have gone back into the marketplace now, so there's some very keenly priced accommodation options.
Good time to buy.
Well, it's a perfect time to actually come up to the Gold Coast. And, and when you think about it, in Australia, there's not going to be a big event like this for another 10 years.
Thanks for being on Travel Writers Radio.
My great pleasure.
That was Martin Winter speaking about the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games with Graham Kemlow.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.